This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Week 9 of the college football season. Landscape of college football is going to be defined as we approach the final month of the season, that is November. The college football playoff race comes into focus. Remember, as we say good morning to you on this great Saturday, October 29th, just a few days out from Halloween. He's Michael Lombardi there at the Borgata. I'm Patrick Maher live from Los Angeles. Remember, the first set of college football playoff rankings come out on Tuesday. So everything's starting to crystallize as far as the college football playoff landscape is concerned. Good morning. Good morning, Michael Lombardi.
Good morning, Patrick. Hope you're well. Happy Saturday. College football. I mean, it's euphoric around here. It is the red October here. Philly 6-5 win last night. I mean, you know, there might have been a 5.4 earthquake in San Francisco earlier this week or San Jose. It was 7-0 here on the Richter scale last night when they won that game. So it's all in. The poles are greased. It's amazing time here in Philadelphia, Patrick. You're missing it.
Well, I stayed up for it. It was the second biggest comeback in a World Series game by an NL team. Remember, they got down 5-0 last night, and then they touched up Verlander for 3 and then 2 and then came back and ended up winning it. That was an impressive. Listen, sometimes there are teams that just get on that ride of destiny and that wave. They're cresting right now, the Phillies. It's a good time there in Philadelphia.
I thought, you know, and I don't know much about baseball. I got a catcher's mitt. That's about it, right? But I thought that the move to bring in his reliever to kind of – he got himself back in the game. And then he brings in that great reliever who's throwing 100 miles an hour to kind of stabilize the game was a brilliant move. And it's a little bit like – for me, I translated it to football. It's like, okay, we've got back in the game – we've drove back down the field again. Let's just kick 3 points and continue to keep this going. Let's stabilize the game. I thought it was outstanding. I think it's unconventional, but it worked.
Yeah, brought in Dominguez, gave him an inning and 2/3, and then Robertson closed it down. It was impressive by the Phillies, who just don't die. And it really is. It's a wonderful lesson. Listen, you just get in the mix, and it's just like we talk about with the NFL this year, and we'll get into the college football playoff and the scenario, but you know, we talk about, is it parity? Is it competition? It doesn't matter. Get into the mix, get into the postseason, get into that dance, and you're going to have an opportunity. That's why we were just talking about, Millie said, hey, if Carolina wins this weekend, they're in first place in the South. That's facts.
Yeah, it's fact. I mean, they would have beaten New Orleans, they would have beaten Tampa, and they would have beaten Atlanta. So, you know, and look, let's face it. I mean, this league is so crazy. If Cade York misses that 58-yarder on opening day, they are in first place. And Matt Rhule's probably still the coach. So, look, it's the thin line that goes into these games is so, so small. And when you have good coaching and you have good planning and you play the right way for your team, you have a chance. You have a chance. Now, are you going to win Super Bowls that way? I think it's kind of hard. I think there's an elite echelon of teams that make it challenging for you to beat them. Certainly Philadelphia, Buffalo, and Kansas City. But at least it gives you the chance to build confidence within your team.
100%, Michael. I mentioned week 9. Intriguing matchups today. We're going to get to those, including number 2 Ohio State traveling to Happy Valley to take on 13 Penn State. But again, as we get into November, that final month of the college football season, we're going to start to crystallize. And then we've got the first set of college football playoff rankings coming up on Tuesday, where the committee gives their top 4. So that's where I thought we'd start today. I don't want you to go by rankings. I literally just throw away, I want Michael Lombardi's eyeball test, and I want you to give me your top 4 as we sit here on October 29th.
Well, I think there's 2 teams, Georgia and Ohio State, and I put Georgia a little above. Now, is the Georgia that played in Missouri the one we're going to get? I don't know. I don't think so. I think there's a different Georgia. I think there's 2 Georgias, you know? And so, but I do think Georgia and Ohio State. Then I think there's a level where it's Alabama. And then there's a little bit of another level where it goes to Tennessee and Michigan. But I think this Ohio State game today against Penn State on the road, we're going to learn a lot about how good Ohio State is. How much improved are they defensively? How their offense can handle handle the elements in terms of the crowd noise in Penn State. So for me, we're going to collect data. But those are the five teams that I see are the best teams that I've watched in college football, and not far behind them. You know, Oklahoma State, I know they have one loss, but they always find a way to win, right? USC, I think, is not quite as good as everybody thinks. TCU, you got to give them as much credit as you can, but they're still undefeated. So I think those are the teams. Like, I just don't think Clemson's in. I think they're in a cluster. I don't think they've separated. You're struggling at home to beat Syracuse, and you need all these calls to get it done. And you gave up how many points to Wake Forest? I'm not there.
Okay, well, Oklahoma State, the Big 12 has been entertaining this year. So has the Pac-12, for that matter. But the SEC and Big 10 continue to dominate. Oklahoma State travels to Manhattan today, Michael Lombardi, to take
hard
on Kansas
game.
State. Whether or not Adrian Martinez plays will be very interesting as far as that number. Let me
do you
give
think,
you my
Do you think Adrian Martinez will be playing when Dominic goes to college?
I'm pretty
at Kent
sure
State or somewhere else. I mean,
I'm pretty sure it's a lock that by the time the King gets to college, Adrian Martinez will be in his 25th year of eligibility. let me give you what I assume is going to happen on Tuesday with the committee. And then you tell
okay.
me, you kind of fight me off here. Okay. I think Georgia's going to be one. Ohio State's going to be two. I completely agree with you. I think Tennessee's going to be three by way of the win over Alabama. This is the controversial part. I think Clemson is going to be four. Why? They beat a Wake team that was ranked, an NC State team that was ranked, and a Syracuse team that was ranked. I think Michigan is better, but Michigan's non-conference schedule may be the worst in the FBS. So again, that's just a start. Now, Michigan will move up as they continue to win, Michael, but I think it's going to be Georgia, Ohio State, Tennessee, and Clemson is the wild card there at four.
I think Michigan beats Clemson. I think they push them around.
I agree with you. Look, I
know that, you know, Iowa, you know, they beat Iowa. You know, they dominate Iowa. The Indiana game was kind of close until the second half. But I think the signature win was the Penn State win. They just rolled Penn State. I mean, I know James Franklin's, 2-13 against top-ranked teams. I get that. But they dominated that game. They were in complete control in that game. And they have improved as the year has gone on. So I don't see it with Clemson. I mean, some of these teams that are ranked, are they really that good? Are they really that
Let's
good?
Do-
I mean... You know, I just don't see that.
Well, I 100%, you and I are in lockstep with DJ Uiagalelei and that defense there at Clemson being a little overrated. Alabama's defense, to be fair, overrated.
It's
My
overrated.
First four out, I've got Michigan, who I think is better than Clemson. I agree. I just think this is the committee. And then I got TCU, Alabama. Those three are going to be on the outside looking in right now. Let's take a look at let's kind of do some more housekeeping here. The SEC. Okay, so right now as we stand, remember, Tennessee hosts Kentucky today. They're in a tough spot because you know who Tennessee has next week? They go to Georgia.
Georgia.
That's right. So essentially, the winner of Tennessee and Georgia next week, you know, the winner will represent the East in the SEC championship game there in Atlanta. How about the SEC West? Bama is on a bye this week, Michael. LSU, they have them next week. They go to Mississippi the following week. So that's where we'll start to crystallize as far as the SEC West, right? So
yeah.
you could see Georgia, you could see Tennessee out of the East. It's going to be fascinating next week.
Texas A&M's not in this, Patrick? That's shocking. I thought they would
be
right
in this thing. Let me continue to see if I can find, which has been just maybe the most abysmal and most underwhelming season by a football team this year. Let me quickly give you the Big Ten, okay? I want to give you the Big Ten quickly. So the Big Ten, you know, the divisions are very lopsided. The East, of course, Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State. Michigan's undefeated. Ohio State's undefeated. They'll take on one another November 26th in Columbus. How about the West? Illinois, sitting at 6-1, is at top of the West. And then Purdue at 5-3 in second. So it looks like it's either going to be Michigan, Ohio State, and Illinois in a Big Ten championship game as we sit here today.
And let's face it, that's going to be whoever it is, whether it's Michigan or Ohio State, they're going to be a double-digit favorite, a significant double-digit favorite against the West. I mean, is it really? I mean, there's such an imbalance between the East and the West. And if I were the Big Ten commissioner, I would try to balance that up a little bit because it's just not there right now. The West is really, I mean, that's what makes the Nebraska job somewhat attractive. You're in the West,
correct?
Right? It is. I mean, you're in a really good spot. And give Brett Bielema tremendous credit for getting this Illinois program turned around. I mean, he's got it going. There was a time that Illinois, when Mike White was the head coach there, Illinois was really good. They had it going. They were going. And, you know, they were getting kids from East St. Louis. They're getting kids from California. They had the program going in the right direction. And I think Brett's got it going back again. But, again, I think it's going to be a challenge. This Michigan team's so good because they just continue to get better as the year goes on, and they're improving defensively, which I think was the one area I was concerned going in.
You nailed it. The Michigan defense has been lights out. J.J. McCarthy breaking out as a star. We know Corum's a pro. Edwards can run as well. This is a very good Michigan team. Great job, Elliott Beck at Circa Control. Odds to win the Big Ten. You see it right there. Let's go ahead and throw up that graphic quickly. Ohio State, your $4 favorite. Michigan coming back the other way, plus 400. Illinois, 13-1. But
it's only one play. I mean, you got great odds at plus 400 on Michigan. You either play that or you don't play it. Right. I mean, everything else you call 1-800 St. Jude's for. You just give that money to St. Jude's. The other ones are just waste of time, you know. So why would you do that? I think we're, by tomorrow morning when you and I are watching the game in London drinking tea, we're going to know who Ohio State is, really. We're not sure right now because they haven't played anybody that's challenged them other than the first game of the in Notre Dame came in there, you know. So we're going to really find out about them.
Maybe some Earl Grey tomorrow morning as we get ready
for
Jacksonville.
Yeah. We'll have crimpets, or we could be like Churchill. We could have Dundee cake. Why not?
And remember, if you're in Ocean City, New Jersey, you're not going to get the mini bars. You're going to get the full candy bars if you stop by.
And we got Fall Fest.
Millie,
we got Fall Fest
Michael
tonight.
Lombardi.
We
have
Fall Fest tonight. Fall Fest. It's a big party on the block at the house. Patrick, you're welcome anytime.
Ocean City Fall Fest next. Happy Valley.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, ExpressBet. Here are the top horse racing plays from ExpressBet handicapper Jeff Siegel. Both at Keeneland today. In the eighth, Jeff likes the two horse, Belichnikov, at 8-1, a juicy price. And in the ninth race at Keeneland, Jeff has the one, West Will Power, on top at 4-1. Bet those races and more at First Bet, VSiN's preferred horse racing app. Get $10 free when you sign up today at First Bet. Remember, use the code HORSE200 for $10, plus get 100% match on a deposit up to $200. We love ExpressBet. It's the best app when it comes to horse racing. It's VSiN.com/horses for more information. That's VSiN.com/horses for more information. It was almost impossible for me, as we welcome you back and say good morning. I'm Patrick Maher. He's Michael Lombardi. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're here every Saturday and Sunday for years for you, me and Michael. Or Michael and I, one of the two. It was almost impossible for me to get through that ExpressBet read because I was still laughing about your pronunciation of certain names during the break.
I'm sorry. I'll get better at it. I got to practice it. I mean,
I can assure people it's not shtick.
The more annoyed I get, the more I probably don't care about pronouncing it right, you know? Like, I think it's just bad information being spewed out there. I think it's really kind of hard to understand.
So you actually were kind to James Franklin, who I'm not a big fan of. He's 2-14 there at Penn State versus top 10 opponents straight up. Now, here's the thing. Ohio State's traveling to Happy Valley today. I'll set up the number. Ohio State has won 5 straight in the series. The last 5 games have been close, all decided by an average margin of 7 points. So you take a look at the number today. Ohio State's laying 15.5 at Penn State. Here's the issue for Penn State. You do realize that Michigan ran for 418 yards on them. And so what do you think Williams and Henderson and Stroud, what do you think they're going to do? I don't think Penn State is very good, to be fair. And also, what Clifford are you going to get? Are you going to get the bad one we saw against Michigan and Northwestern? Are you going to get the good one we saw last week against Minnesota? There are a lot of questions here for Penn State hosting Ohio State.
Yeah, and I think when you watch Penn State, I mean, look, they're not an explosive offense, right? They're not going to be able to, you know, make Ohio State do something that they don't want to do. Defensively, they're average. They're in the Pac-12. They're in the Big Ten. They're just an average defense. And so the way this breaks down is yards, points per play by Ohio State is so much, is significantly better than Penn State. And defensively, which I think is kind of the underlying area of this Ohio State team that no one really talks about because of Stroud and the players, is they have played better defense this year. They are improved. Right, they are. You know, their yards per play is fifth in the country. You know, their rushing defense is eighth in the country. Now, in fairness, you know, everybody wants to critique. Everybody wants to critique Michigan for their schedule. Like, who has? I'm looking at Ohio State's schedule. Like, who have they played that's so challenging? They blew out Wisconsin, Rutgers. They blew them out. You know, they Michigan State 49-20. Iowa they killed. You know. They beat Toledo 77-21. I mean, other than the Notre Dame game, this is the first time we are going to find out how good they really are and how good they are defensively. You know, I think that's the key. And I have, obviously, I think they're going to be really good. You know, their relative scoring is the number one team in the country. But I do think level of comp, when you look at the schedule, look, they're playing a Big Ten schedule, so those are the teams they got to play. But the reality of it is this is going to be, this is an indicator game. This is an indicator game, right?
I don't disagree. You do agree that Jim Knowles was a huge upgrade at defensive coordinator.
Huge.
They brought him over from Oak State, fifth in scoring D, second in total defense. Like, Ohio State is a more balanced team this year, Michael, than they were last year.
Right, and when you look at Penn State defensively, outside of the Michigan game, but you can't really go outside the Michigan game because that's the level of comp that they're going to play today, right? So, you know, when you look at them against Northwestern, you know, they beat Northwestern 17-7. They only give up 7 points. Last week, they held P.J. Fleck to 17 points, right? Auburn, they held to 12 points. You're thinking, okay, maybe that, but Michigan, as you indicated, ran the ball, controlled the game from start to finish, and was the better team that day. And so, and they, one thing Michigan does, unless they get into the Southeast Conference, really for me, which happened to them against Georgia last year, they wear you down. They kind of lean on you and lean on you and lean on you, and eventually you break. It's what happened when they played, you know, Iowa. They, you know, they were able to wear them down. Indiana, same thing. It's a closer game until the fourth. I think sometimes in college football, we want the games to be over in the first quarter, and that's just not some styles that these teams operate with.
I don't disagree. I think the problem for Penn State today is even though Ohio State beat Iowa 54-10, they actually sputtered on offense in the red zone, especially in the first half. They didn't get it done. And then in the second half, they pulled away. Also, a little misleading with Penn State's win over Minnesota, because remember, Minnesota was starting a first-time starter at quarterback. So that, to me, a little misleading. I don't love this matchup for Penn State. I think the defense is overrated this year. You talked about them being middle of the pack there in the Big Ten. They got a good secondary, but look at what Ohio State brings, and Jigba and Harrison Jr. and Fleming. I mean, they just, and again, C.J. Stroud, who's your even money favorite right now to win the Heisman, Michael.
Yeah, I mean, look, and those receivers that, you know, we know are great. And so part of this, too, is now it's on the road. So we raise the level of intensity. It's going to be a whiteout up there at State College. And they're going to have to deal with crowd noise. They're going to have to deal with communication. They got to protect the football. All those things that they didn't do very well against Notre Dame, but were able to find a way to win playing at home, they're going to have to execute here today. Again, I think this is an indicator game. We're going to find out how good Ohio State is. You know, are they in the same category as Georgia? Are they in the same category as Alabama, or Tennessee? I mean, one thing about Tennessee is everybody gives them a hard time for giving up so many points to Alabama, but nobody seems to think Alabama gave up that many points to Tennessee.
Jigba out with the hamstring. Go ahead.
Great job. Great job. In fairness to Alabama, they win that game if they manage the clock better or at least get the game into overtime.
Do you know the two best scoring offenses in the country? I'll give you number two. That is Ohio State at 49-6. You just mentioned the other one. Tennessee scoring 50.1 a game.
Yeah. And they're going to continue to do it. I mean, it's a bad matchup for Kentucky. As good as Kentucky is today on defense, that pace, that's a style of play Kentucky doesn't want to play. Kentucky wants to get the game on the – they don't want to move around the ring. They want to get you against the ropes and pound on you and kind of play a slower pace game. They want to. They have to play a certain way, even with Will Levis at quarterback. They don't want to get outside themselves. This Tennessee team, because of the way they play and the way they attack you, and they don't play fast to play fast. They play tactically fast, which I'm really impressed with.
Michael, here's the thing. They're more talented – Ohio State than Penn State. But here's the thing. Even if it's not working through the air for CJ Stroud and those receivers I mentioned outside of Njigba, they'll run the ball. They're averaging 5.6 on the ground this year. So Williams and Henderson will go off. And again, this is a Penn State defense that gave up 418 rushing yards to Michigan. That's demoralizing. If you're James Franklin, yeah, and you're giving up over 400 on the ground in conference, that's embarrassing.
Well, when you give up big run plays, right, and Corum had some big runs in the – I mean, that's what kills you. That's how you give up so many yards, when you give up those big runs. When somebody breaks into the secondary and they miss a tackle and next thing you know, you're off to the races. Great defenses. Great defenses are able to limit the big plays. This is the Alabama issue. They didn't limit big plays against Tennessee. And again, you know, we talked about Alabama struggles against these kind of offenses. They do. Because Alabama's a check with me defense, and they can't check with it because of the pace that Tennessee's playing and the splits of Tennessee's receivers. I mean, Mississippi State tried to do it 2 weeks ago against Alabama. It didn't work, but they tried because they're just not as good at it as Tennessee is. This Tennessee team is a little bit like an academy team. They're hard to get ready to play.
Boy, you were down on that Bama defense. I'm with you. That Bama and Clemson defense, two of them overrated. Michigan might be in that conversation. They just don't get discussed. Remember, Michigan lost the two edges to the NFL, and people thought they were going to take a step back. They also lost their defensive coordinator. Michigan's defense has gotten better this year.
They have. And when you watch Michigan, you know, you can see it. I mean, you can see it. Plus, they play a complementary style of game for their defense, right? They're 13th in the nation in relative scoring defense, which is critical. They're one of the better pass defenses in the country, right? So that's key. And so, but the way they play offense, the way they play under center, run the ball, play action, spread, they do everything really well offensively. And it takes their defense. It gives them time to kind of get some rest, be able to play, and then play from in front. I mean, and one thing about Michigan, they do a really good job of is they can pressure the quarterback. They're eighth in the country in sacks. So when you're good at doing that and you're able to get sacks and create negative plays, most times the offenses don't have a quarterback to make up for a negative play.
The total there, Happy Valley, is 60.5, as Elliot mentions in the notes. The over, as far as highest over percentage in FBS, has belonged to Ohio State since 2017. That offense is prolific. I will say this, Penn State has covered 5 of its last 6 against Ohio State, even though they've lost 9 of 10. So that 15.5 looms for bettors that want to lay the wood with Ohio State. I just think this is a mismatch. If Ohio State doesn't turn the football over, they're going to kill Penn State today. Facts.
I think so.
And they don't turn the football over.
I think this is one of those in-game bets where if the game starts to slip on Penn State, it's going to slip bad.
So you mentioned there's going to be a cocktail party at the Lombardi's tonight, a little fall celebration. How about the cocktail party down in Jacksonville, Georgia, Florida? Next, Lombardi Line, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, we had a big week for VSiN pros. You can become one right now, VSiN.com/subscribe. It's $99 through the Super Bowl. What are you going to get when you become a VSiN pro? Subscriber benefits include pro tools. So the betting splits, which me and Michael are constantly referencing all day, you can have that. You got pro picks at a glance and pro tips. You get 20 plus a day here on VSiN. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe to become a VSiN pro. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. So something Michael mentioned, I think this is a great pro tip. And Michael, I didn't even think about this, but let's go through what you just said. I'm going to give you 3 games and you tell me your philosophy behind these. Oregon, Cal, USC, of course, Arizona with that terrible defense, and Kentucky, Tennessee. You think those 3, Oregon, USC, and Tennessee, will be hyper-focused?
Yeah, because I think they know, they won't admit this, but they know the committee's voting for seeding, right? And when you're playing against a team that you're a 14-point favorite for, let's say, right? Or like Arizona was, Arizona opened up a 15-point home dog, and it got dropped down to 14. Like SC's going to keep trying to score, and if they can get to 55, you know, they're going to do whatever they can do to get more style points, right? To get more style points to make the committee feel like, oh, wow, they're in gear now. Because everything about the committee is perception. Like, name the committee and tell me one person on the committee that knows anything about football. Tell me one person on the committee that knows anything about what cover three is, what buzz safety is, what two trap is. Nobody knows. They don't know football. They look at numbers, and they look at style points, and they look at all that. So because they only look at that and they can't really tell who's good and who's bad, they have to go by the numbers. And so people want to inflate their numbers.
They're very easily influenced. It's suggestive. And great job, Elliot, with the production. Go ahead and throw it up again. We already got the pro tip up. Remember, VSiN.com/subscribe if you want to become a VSiN pro. But Michael Lombardi with a great tip. Listen, these are human beings on the College Football Playoff Committee, and they are just as reactionary as we are as football fans, or not you, but for the most part. So again, they're going to be influenced by Kentucky at Tennessee today. You just mentioned Oregon, who all of a sudden after that first loss in Atlanta, starting to play really good football. These are teams that are going to absolutely not take their foot off the gas.
No doubt. And what people don't understand is the reason we've had so many job openings in college football before the end of the season is this is high stakes poker. There's so much money in college football that to get into one of these games, to get into the Final Four, and even to get into these new, it's enormous money. And so you got to be able to understand what you're dealing with, right? What are you dealing with and how are you dealing with it? And so I think to me, when you get one of these games that, you know, now can Michigan, will Michigan take their foot off the gas against Michigan State? No doubt. No doubt they won't, right? They're going to, you know, because that goes back to birth. I mean, either you're a Michigan State fan or a Michigan fan in the state, right? So, but 23.5 is a lot of points. And the style that Michigan plays doesn't always lend itself to cover those big numbers because they reduce the clock with their run game, which is less in college because of the timeouts after first down or the stoppage of the clock at first down. But to me, I think you got to take that in consideration if you're on that fence. Like Arizona is going to struggle to slow down USC. That's just a fact. And they're gonna. And if they make Arizona makes one mistake in the game where they have to punt, Arizona's not going to stop them.
You can get 14 on USC at Circa right now. Most shops sitting 14.5. That seems short to me at Arizona with that defense. We shall see. You just nailed it as far as Michigan, Michigan State. As a kid that grew up in Michigan, Michael, one side of the lunch table was maize and blue. One side of the lunch table was green and white. And we didn't talk to each other during rivalry week. And remember, today at the Big House, Michigan takes on Michigan State. Michigan State's won the last 2 years. Even though Michigan made it to the College Football Playoff last year, Kenneth Walker went off for 5 touchdowns last year, and Michigan State beat Michigan.
Now, Michigan State's not good this year, but still, even when they're not good, it's like when Auburn's not good and they still play Alabama tough, right? It's inherent. It's part of, you know, you spend all year talking about beating Michigan when you're at Michigan State.
That's correct.
You know, 100%. That's what you do. And so because that's what you do, you play your best ball on this day. And if your season's not good, and you can find a way to give Michigan trouble or beat them, your season's somewhat a success.
Let's cross the Florida-Georgia line, the old cocktail party there in Jacksonville. Georgia-Florida, of course, Georgia, your number one ranked team in the country. They're going to look to continue the dominance. The one game, the mix-up, our buddy Elliott's Missouri team this year where they struggled, had to come back late in the fourth and win. Georgia's laying 21.5 to open. They're up to 23.5. This is a Florida defense that isn't very good. I told you this during the break. How bad is Florida's defense on third down? They're 130th in third down conversion rate on defense. The only school that's worse than Florida, Colorado. So both teams off a bye. So both teams come into this cocktail party rested.
Yeah, and plus Florida's horrendous when they get to the red zone. They're horrendous defensively when they get to the red zone. So that's a bigger issue too, you know. And Georgia, you know, yards per play at 7.3 are really good. Points per play is, you know, Georgia's almost at 0.60. They're at 0.589. So they're really good at points per play. The Missouri game was kind of like a slip. But to me, you know, look, I love Anthony Richardson. I think Anthony Richardson's kind of going to be, I wrote about it on Visa this week. I mean, to me, he's got such unique size. He's got such unique speed. He's not accurate with the football, but he does throw with some rhythm. He's going to take some time. I think he's better off going back a year to school. But this is somebody that once it clicks, and it's going to click. Trust me, it's going to click. He could carry a team anywhere. I don't know if it'll click this week. It may probably click next year. But this game for Georgia will be a challenge early in the game. I really believe that.
And Anthony Richardson was benched last year in this matchup between Georgia and Florida, just as a note. And we talked about the balance with Ohio State. Michael, how about Georgia? And we got to give Stetson Bennett some credit. They're eighth in scoring offense. They're second nationally in yards per game. But then on defense is really where they shine. They're second in scoring defense nationally. They're fourth in rush D. They're fifth in passing yards allowed. I mean, this is Kirby. What he's done with the recruiting there in Athens is ridiculous, because this is really well balanced as far as Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, not only does he do it with recruiting, I mean, you know, we talk about getting all those generals. When you get five stars, you get a lot of generals, but he gets the generals to play good, you know, where some other programs don't get the generals to play good, you know, and I think that's the problem. See, the problem in this game to me is Florida can't get control of the game. Their run defense is 108th in the nation. When you play Georgia and you don't make Bennett become a 50-pass guy, you're not going to beat Georgia. If you could, when they can run the football, I mean, Florida gives up 185 yards rushing a game. And so to me, it's like the way, it's a slow death. You never get control of the game when you can't stop the opponents running. When you have corners that don't tackle, you can never balance your defense. When you can't stop the run, you can't get control of the game. Those are kind of things that go inside the game. And I think that's the hard part for Florida. Florida needs a track meet. Georgia's defense don't let you have a track meet.
No, they control the pace. You know, it's like Tennessee controls the tempo on offense. Georgia's defense controls the tempo in these games, which is, it's fun to watch. The 22 or now 23.5 point spread is the largest favorite. Georgia is going to be over Florida since 78. Georgia this year, 6-1 to the under. No surprise there with the focus on defense. You got a total right now that's jumped up to 57 over at Circa, Michael.
Yeah. You know, and you mentioned 78. The great Vince Dooley was probably the coach in 78. I'm sure he was.
He was.
You know, who passed away last night. And so, you know, what a great coach. What a great program he built at Georgia. You know, it's a different game today than when he was coaching, you know, running that deep eye and play. But they still play great defense back there. Remember Irk Russell, his defensive coordinator, went on to Georgia Southern to take over that program. I mean, Georgia has always been built on the premise of great defense. It'll carry, that tradition has carried on since Dooley left, and obviously Kirby's done a great job with it. So one thing about this game, though, too, Patrick, is this is a game that these kids have played against one another all the time. A lot of Florida kids, a lot of Georgia kids. That Florida High School All-Star game is big. That's why they play it in Jacksonville. That's why it's kind of a neutral site, because it's kind of like an All-Star game again from high school.
Yep. You nailed it. That Florida-Georgia line is real, Michael. There's some pretty good talent in Florida and Georgia. Oh, let's put it that way.
No doubt.
Quickly, just to mention, Vince Dooley, who passed away, I believe it was yesterday at the age of 90, the legendary Bulldogs coach. Remember, the 80 national championship, but he also won six SEC titles. He was a great coach there at Georgia.
No doubt. He ran a style. You know, it was a power I team. I formation, you know, if you got the 20 points, it was a lot of points, you know, and they could dominate their opponents just because they could beat you up. You know, they were just physical up front. You know, it's the old Bo Schembechler. We're going to snap it on one, do something about it. They did it well.
I like what you said in your Lombardi look ahead. That's exclusive for VSiN subscribers and VSiN pros, VSiN.com/subscribe. Tell them what Parcells said about what's coming out of college.
Parcells often would tell me all the time, he said, we can only take what the colleges give us. So there was a time where colleges were just giving us wishbone quarterbacks, and you had to train the guy into pro. Now colleges are giving us just really one-dimensional players, guys who can read something and throw it, athletes, big athletes like Richardson. You got to figure out how to use them.
The way the college game is played shapes the makeup of the pro game. And Bill Parcells said that. I love that from the Lombardi Look Ahead. We are joined by our guy, and you love him, Chick Chack Johnson, next, Carl Johnson.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, this is especially for Michael Lombardi. Hockey fans, turn a loss into a win with BetMGM, the official sports betting partner of the NHL. Just place a single first goal scorer prop. Michael was asking me during the break, so that's why I'm saying this. If you place a single first goal scorer prop on an NHL game tonight or throughout the season, if your bet loses, you're going to receive up to $25 back in free bets. It's a great deal. The king of sportsbooks, BetMGM. Check it out. 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. You've got to be 21 years or older. I think Michael fits. It's not available Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. Speaking of Mississippi, as we welcome you back here on the Lombardi Line, Week 9, again, that picture is going to start to crystallize as we head into the final month of the college football season here as we head into November, Halloween right around the corner. We head down to the Bayou, Michael Lombardi, and bring in Jack Johnson, Carl Johnson. He runs the race and sportsbook at the Beau Rivage. And as we get started here, two questions. Are you dressing up for Halloween? And what's your favorite candy, Carl? Let's start there.
Wow. I like anything chocolate. I don't know if I have a favorite candy. I eat it all. I mean, if you look at me, you can tell. But dressing up, you know, I mean, there's not a whole lot you can do with this, Patrick. I mean, you know, I don't have a whole lot of hair. I mean, I'm just going to be me.
That's good enough, Carl. I want to start off asking you the question that Patrick started our show today with is, if you were on that committee and you were in that room, who were your top four teams, and then who are the four you would leave out?
Yeah, so, well, right now I think you got to go. Look, I don't think Tennessee's getting a whole lot of respect. So Tennessee's going to be in my top four, Alabama, Georgia, and probably Ohio State. And my bottom, you know, I'm Michigan's right there on the edge of that. You know, I don't know, maybe TCU, you put TCU up there.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah. You know, for me, it's about six teams, I think, that have a shot, you know, and I'm not going to leave Michigan out. You know, they can get there too, but I mean, look, one of the best bets on the board right now, I don't know why people aren't jumping all over it, is Tennessee. You can get Tennessee at like 16 to 18 to 1 right now. They're going to be in the mix.
No doubt. And, Carl, what you just said there is what Patrick and I talked about for the first block was you didn't mention the Clemson Tigers. You're not buying them. I'm not buying them. Patrick's not buying them.
Nope.
Yeah, I mean, look, for me – you know, I don't know the intricacies of football like you do. So for me, it's all eye test, you know, and I don't see it with that team. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't see
it
either.
Hey, Mike, let's throw up those national. Good job, Elliot. Let's throw up the national championship odds, and I'll have Michael pick one, and then, of course, Carl Johnson, you pick one. I think you're both going to zero in on that 16-1 number on Tennessee, right? That's a juicy price, Michael. I'll start with you.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, look, the reluctance to Michigan is every time Michigan gets into the Southeast Conference, they don't play as well, you know. But that maybe there's not a dominant team in the Southeast Conference like other than Georgia. So I think Michigan and Tennessee at 16-1 are really good value. I would not play Clemson at 16-1 because I don't think Clemson's worthy to be in there. Clemson's going to stub their toe eventually down the line here. Plus, you know, Amal's right. The ACC isn't very good. I mean, tell me a great team in the ACC. If you're saying Syracuse, I think Syracuse is a great story. I don't think they're a great team.
Yeah, that's a good distinction. I think that's a great distinction. And we know Carl likes Tennessee at 16-1 there. Let's start there. Why don't we start with Tennessee in the SEC? Kentucky, this is a dangerous spot just because, of course, Tennessee travels to Athens next week. Where are you sitting there with Tennessee hosting Kentucky today, Carl?
Yeah, so we opened here at 12.5, 63.5, down to 11.5, 61.5 right now. Tennessee's getting the money. You know, and I was thinking about this too, you know. I mean, everybody's talking about letdown. Look, I think one of the things that benefits Tennessee is that in the last recent history, they haven't been there. So they're there now, and I just don't think that this coaching staff, I mean, they're obviously well-coached. They got good players. I don't think this coaching staff is going to let this opportunity slip away. I just don't see it.
Yeah, I agree, Carl. I think that they're a team that's hard to play. They're hard to play. And the speed of the game wears you down, and they get better as the game goes on, and you can never get control of the game away from them. And I think it's going to be a challenge for Kentucky today. I really do. I think it's going to be hard. You know, do I think Kentucky covers? I think it's going to be one of those close calls. But I think this Tennessee team, the speed of their offense makes them unique.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I just, I mean, look, they're going to score their points. I mean, you know, it's tough for these teams to score with Tennessee. I mean, it just is.
Yep, that tempo hurts teams. Again, Kentucky's very good on defense, but Tennessee won at Kentucky last year, 45-42. Michael brought up a great point at the beginning of the show, Carl. We're starting to get into that college football playoff committee where perception matters. These teams aren't taking their foot off the gas. Let's talk about the cocktail party. And that is Jacksonville, of course. You've got Georgia, Florida. What's the number there? It's a big one.
Yeah, it is. So we opened here 22.56.5. Right now we're at 23.56.5. I noticed some places going 23.5 and even 24 here. But I actually, Florida's getting the money here. They're taking the points with us. Looks like 65% of the money and 60% of the tickets is coming in on Florida with us.
Yeah, that's amazing, huh? I mean, that's really amazing. And you know this game is such a rivalry game. These kids have played against one another. Mm-hmm. It's always that. It's always kind of like it has it back and forth. And with this line being ridiculous, it's never been like this before. So, but Florida's defense, Carl, for me, I don't know how you can trust them at any point in this game. I really don't.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, I seen a stat the other day. I think when this game was favored by this many points, and it goes back years, I think Georgia's covered every time.
Yeah.
CJ, Jick Jack, Carl Johnson, our guy, our partner, joins us here, Lombardi Line, Ohio State, Penn State. It's a big number as well. Now, there's been dominance from Ohio State side, but Penn State's kind of covered that number four of the last five. What do you got here, Carl?
Yeah, opened here 15.5, 61.5, and this has been a stale line all week, Patrick. We're still at 15.5, 61. Ohio State getting the money, about 65% of the money, and about 60% of the ticket.
Yeah, do you get a lot of play on these games, Carl? Is this a big one for you down there in the book?
Yeah, we do get a lot of play. You know, we get a lot of play on these you know, the top five, top ten. We do get a lot of play. You know, everybody, you know, thinks that, you know, this is kind of like a Southern book and they're not interested in some of these other games, but they are. They like this football. This is a big game for Ohio State. You know, we're gonna. But just like you guys have been talking about, we'll see how good they are today.
Well, speaking of Ohio State, they're going to finish their season as they always do with Michigan and Columbus. How about Michigan today? Big House, Carl, taking on Michigan State. Remember, Michigan State's won 10 of 14 in this series over the last 14 seasons. They've won two straight with Mel Tucker, but this is a big number here. Michigan's favored.
It is a big number for this. It's a big number for Michigan, and especially against Michigan State, regardless of how well or good they are. But Michigan, we opened 22.5. We're at 22.5, 54.5. So that number's been pretty stale. The money is going towards Michigan State here. Looks like about 60% of the money, 52% of the ticket count on Michigan State.
Carl, where are you leaning in this game? I mean, it's hard for me to think that Michigan State's that bad that they're going to not be able to stay
can't
within
lay that
three
number.
Touchdowns.
Can't,
can you?
Can't
I mean,
lay that number. No.
Yeah, I agree, Michael. I think if I'm forced to bet this game right here, I'm taking those points just because of the rivalry.
Yeah, I am too. I mean, to me, it's a little bit the only thing that keeps me away from taking Florida and the points is that defense. But this game, to me, I know Jim's going to want to just – because they've ruined Jim's season 2 years in a row. I mean, they've got to do something to get back. But this one, to me, is always harder.
And as a friend just texted me, Michigan State getting healthy on defense, to your point about that defense maybe getting a little bit better for Michigan State, even though Michigan's been a juggernaut both offensively and defensively. Quickly, a suggestion. Did you guys watch True Detective? Remember Matthew McConaughey in True Detective?
Yeah.
That was down
in
the bayou. That was Louisiana.
Right.
I think Carl Johnson dresses up as McConaughey from True Detective for Halloween
great
this
call,
year, Carl.
Patrick. Great
what
call.
Do you got?
That's a good one. Yeah.
I don't Man, I don't have the looks that that guy's had. I don't think I could pull that off.
You could open that beer can like he could, too. I mean, that'd be perfect. Yeah, I'd be ideal. What's on the menu, Carl? What's on the menu today, Carl?
So you guys know my love of food. Man, I found a place that's called the Pimpin' Shack, Chicken Shack or whatever. Look, I love Asian food. They've got a egg roll cheeseburger. I mean, that's the best of both worlds. I get to eat an Asian cheeseburger. It's an egg roll cheeseburger. Unbelievable.
The Pimpin' Chicken Shack. Only Carl Johnson. The Beau Rivage down in the bayou. Biloxi, Mississippi.
It's so good.
He's the best. We go from one legend to the next. Matt Eumanns next here at Lombardi Line.